Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Greetings, planet Earth. I'm so glad you guys chose to join us tonight. I think we're going to have a delightful show. Tonight our guest is Christy Knight, and the topic is the emotional language of the body. I always like talking about emotions. But before we get started, I just wanted to mention this idea of living a fulfilled life. You know, when we look at the collective story of our past, there's so much struggle and hardship, if you will, in a lot of the storyline that's played out. Certainly, it's not the exclusive story. But when we talk about living our potential, fulfilling what our potential is, you know, when your soul had this idea of incarnating for this time around, I suggest it was for one of the most incredible incarnations ever, this time now. And there's a reason for that, in that human consciousness is so powerful. It's an exponential power source that when you raise human consciousness, the amount of power expands dramatically. And what we're watching now on the planet is a collective expansion of human consciousness. And the reason I talk about fulfilling your potential is that I don't think we've really had very good role models in our mythology, in our storyline, about what just the average, everyday, run-of-the-mill, divine soul can do in a human form. In fact, I would suggest most of our storyline up to this point, as far as what we've heard through story and mythology and whatnot, can't even scratch the surface of what's possible as a human being, as a soul personified as a human being here on this planet now. So I suggest if you're listening to the show, you're fond of talking about consciousness, about personal power, which is my personal favorite, and our human potential. I mean, we've had some wonderful guests on the show talk about some pretty incredible things about this idea of what it means to be a human being. But I suggest to you, if you flex that creation muscle, that flow muscle, and very importantly, get your ego to trust the vision of your heart and soul, because most of the time the hand on the brake is the ego, that we're going to have legions of Gandhis and Buddhas and Jesuses coming out of the collective consciousness. And the new norm will be an exceptional story. But don't forget that we're here for the human experience. Everything that your heart and soul conspires is for your happiness, is for your enjoyment, is for your satisfaction of expressing your potential. I think we're at the doorway of some very incredible stories that are going to unfold as humanity awakens to its own potential. Without further ado, I want to bring our guest on. Christy Knight is a professional singer, a recording artist, a healer, and the editor of her husband's new book, Know Thyself, Your Body's Wisdom for Living Consciously. We've had Christy on the show before, and I'm delighted to have her back. Welcome to the show, Christy.
Well, it certainly is my pleasure to be here with you, Les.
You know, when you came up with the title, The Emotional Language of the Body, when did this concept first come into your life as a value point for you?
Well, you know, I think I, along with millions of others, had always thought that there was some connection maybe with, where the emotions come from, you know, with the body, the organs and glands of the body, which is 100% of who we are. On all levels, you know, starting with spiritually and mentally and emotionally, as well as physically. That kind of encompasses the entirety of us energetically, right?
Yep.
So we, you know, I met Dean, I told him, I said, you had me at the emotional language of the body, because I'd always thought that there was a connection there. And everybody does. We just don't know where those emotions come from, but it turns out that they come from our organs and glands, which is, you know, equals the body. So 23 organ gland energy systems is what it boils down to. You know, that's who we are.
Well, can you
and
give
the emotional part of the body is a big mystery to most people.
Can
and it was to me until I met, you know, Dr. Dean Allen, who I ended up marrying, as it happens, about 11 years ago we met. So, and then 3 years after that, we got married. But he was my therapist, and I said, well, you know, you're just a mess, you know. You dress funny, so who's going to be your therapist? We just have always had such an incredible friendship. And one day I just realized, gosh, you know, it couldn't be anybody else but Dean. And he's the one. He's my great teacher. He taught me all about it. So I am his biggest, you know, fan, as well as, you know, also a teacher of this. So we've been doing the homework and writing this book. Boy, this book, Know Thyself, Your Body's Wisdom for Living Consciously. That's going to rock your world. It's going to change everything, because you're going to finally get where the emotions are coming from and why they, you know, can swing that wide pendulum swing all the way over to the right and all the way to the left, or the too much and the not enough, you know.
Can you give us a
snapshot?
Did
that answer your question? That was a long answer.
No, that's fine. We're going to be talking about this context, and if the listeners haven't heard this before, can you give us a kind of a snapshot of the material when we talk about the emotional imprinting on the body, and so the listener can understand the dialogue from here on out?
Yeah, we can just go through some, well, the best way to do it is just to pick an organ or a gland. You know, you got your, starting right out with the most important one, which is the thymus energy. It's designed to give us the ability to take responsive, aggressive actions without drag, to feel safe and able to protect ourselves from outside invading forces. And it just so happens to be connected to our immunity. So if, you know, we know who to let in our front door and who not to let in our front door, you know, so to speak,
sure,
then we've got the aggressive action down. We've got the appropriate amount of aggression. It's not too much, and it's not in the not enough category, which could be very dangerous, you know, if you don't know how to protect yourself. So that's, you know, it's a weird word to start right out to think that aggression is an emotional word, but it's actually one of the most important ones. And it's very undertaught because nobody understands it, basically. I find that this is a huge, huge place of confusion for most people. They think that, you know, in order to live a spiritual life, they need to be nice to everybody. And the truth is if you're nice to, you know, outside aggressive forces that are very, very harmful to you, that's damaging, you know, to you.
Sure.
That's, you know, we instinctively know that, I think, but we don't really teach it that much.
I think a lot of times people have this idea of being spiritual as some kind of a overdosing on righteousness or something. Where
well, now there's a huge confusion too, isn't it, Les? I mean, you go from the outside church to the inside church, basically. That's our journey. And it, all the answers are there when we're connected to, you know, 253 circuits on our, you know, that's our hardwiring to spirit, life force, energy, which is who and what we all are. And that's why we are one. It's a very simple plan, you know. And so here we are basically in a hologram pretending to be, you know, Christy Knight and Les Jensen, having our little lifetime where we forget everything else. And, you know, we do this and do this and do this until we don't do it on this level anymore because we know we're kind of done with this. And apparently we're just all deciding to graduate at the same time, which is really kind of cool.
It is. It's so remarkable. Compared to
aren't we amazing, Les?
I'll take it. I'm when I contemplate the nature of what's going on, I just get this big-ass smile on my face about, you know, we're all wizards. We're all these ginormous divine potentials shoehorned into these physical
yes.
bodies. And we're
all the Christ and the Buddhas, and we're all just the manifestation of spirit in a human
yeah.
form. That's it.
So
to wake up to that is really quite profound, especially when we've been taught that all the divinity in our life is up there or out there or somewhere else but us.
Well, that idea of righteousness, it, you know, God is, well, the source, whatever you want, any term you want to use for creator, your relationship with all of creation is your relationship with the creator. And when you take an aspect and say, well, this is righteous and this is wrongous, so I can't do the wrongous, I have to do the righteous.
Wrongous. I love it.
Then,
I got a new word.
Well, I know, but I didn't want to follow the rules when I'm trying to break them. And,
it's adorable.
So in other words, the every season of consciousness is a divine expression, and nothing is wrong. Everything is perfect. So there's no, there's this idea of right or wrong is the ego's idea of trying to posture with the divine so they don't, you know, burn in hell or something like that.
Exactly. And who is supposed to tell us what right or wrong is when it's a purely subjective, personal thing in the moment?
Sure.
But we can talk about what is right energetically or what will, you know, regenerate us and nurture us. And we can talk about what is wrong energetically and what will degenerate us and cause us death if you want to. You know, that's a worthy conversation right there. And that's what the language of the body is all about. It gives us discernment. It's not judgment. It just gives us discernment so that we can choose how to regenerate. So it's a very exciting new conversation instead of that old right, wrong, you know, stupid conversation that doesn't have much to do with reality or energetically or, you know, energetics or science or nothing. You know, it's just what somebody says is right and what somebody says is wrong, which really, I mean, whew, it's a can of worms.
So let's talk about that. When these organs of the body drop out of harmony and take on that drag or that resistance, and then you click off so much time, you know, there's got to be a mental component of learning that what you've been living is so energetically disconnected and such a drag that when you take that break off to bring your mind around to say, hey, things are different now, you can expect life to be different and it'll show up different. I mean,
well, and the key is showing up, Les. It's always about showing up. It's what Dean basically, it's when you know, bring yourself into the equation. So many people have been trained out of doing that, and the language of the body is all about expression, levels of expression. And when we learn how to do that in line with what regenerates us and have our emotional expressions just right there in the straight and narrow path of energy that leads to regeneration, which is what they were always talking about with the way, the Tao, you know, the straight and narrow path. You know, they had a million words for it, but they were basically all saying the same thing. That which is going to regenerate us and move us toward more life, more spirit in our circuits, a full flow.
And
when
we're
able to do that, our life just flows like we're on the center lane of the highway, you know, of our whole existence. And we are showing up. We're right there, all of us, all parts of us, the 23 systems in harmony. You know, it's like a dance. It can be an ugly dance, an awkward dance, or it can be a very smooth flow. And oftentimes, you know, it can be fast. It can be speeded up like what's happening right now. I mean, I don't know about you, Les, but I don't know where today went. You know, time has just come so fast. And also, Dina, I love to watch these little talent shows on TV like The Voice and, you know, or Dancing with the Stars, stuff like that, where you can see a person raw in the beginning and then they grow and they become quantum. And so often people are getting so good on these shows now that they will quantum, they will get the highest score and then get voted off because somebody's even better than that.
It's that potential just waiting for a venue of expression in us, through us, as us. And as we take that drag off, you know, the body becomes so vibrant, it's kind of funny that the idea of dis-ease is, I mean, you've got to really, we're such powerful beings, and when that energy, chi flows through our body, has no
energy.
Choice.
I love it. That's great.
To be healthy and vibrant. And when you remove the drag, which is what we're talking about here,
exactly.
There's so much raw energy going to your cells, to your body. Yeah, I feel like I'm getting younger. It's like,
well, you probably are.
I know I was born young, and yesterday, I was playing volleyball, outdoor volleyball, and it started to rain. And nobody flinched, and it started to rain a lot. And it rained for like 40 minutes. And we were as wet as had we fallen off the boat. And we're playing this volleyball, and it was just so surreal. It was so much fun.
Oh, my gosh. Now that's getting younger right there. That's too much fun.
You'd go to try to hit the ball, and you'd look up in the rain, and the rain would just pelt your face, and everything would go blurry, and it's like, okay, I'm going to go on, I think this will work, and you're flying blind, and there was really a very naive aspect to it, and it's just so much fun when you let go of what it's, quote, supposed to look like, and let it be what it wants to be.
Yeah, well, you know, my dad was in the armed forces, and, you know, there was a certain amount of, you know, regimentation with the way I was raised, and it's nothing but a pure pleasure to give that up, quite honestly. And just be in the moment, you know, learn how to do that better rather than worry about what you're going to say or memorize something or... You know, it's like this show. Dean says, well, are you prepared? I said, yeah, I am. So, I mean, this is such an honor to be asked to talk about this amazing subject because this allows us to just basically have more energy flow in our bodies when we can actually learn to make these decisions. Like with the thymus energy, it's the most important organ and gland in the entire body because it helps us to feel safe. And when we have the sufficient emotional feelings of aggression to be able to protect ourselves, that's the straight and narrow path. And oftentimes we even know that that person should never enter our front door, but we just go ahead and let them in anyway. You know, some of this old programming takes over. And see, that's not going to work, and in order to have enough aggression, you got to study the thymus energy to just really understand how the body's immune system works, or just study the immune system, because what we do on a physical level, we're also doing on an emotional level, and a mental level, and a spiritual level. So, and they're all interweaving energies that just connect with each other. And every part of us is telling every other part of us, you know, kind of what to do when it's in alignment. And that's when we're in that place of, oh, so I'm supposed to actually know in any given situation what to do, rather than wonder about what to do. Because right now, without this language of the body, I don't know what people are doing. I mean, I look out there and I can see why the world is such a mess, because if they knew that there would be a tremendous amount of drag on their systems if they let the wrong people in their front door, and it could go on for years and years and years until they finally turned around, or maybe they would never turn it around. And what comes to mind for an example is these women who let the wrong kind of men in, you know, really sweet, innocent, precious women that, you know, just say yes to every situation. And, you know, like you said, they think that's spiritual. Well, that's actually, if you want to look at that according to the language of the body and the thymus energy, it's not spiritual, because it doesn't give you more spirit on the thymus. It causes there to be more drag on the thymus. And that's what Dean and I call the dragon. And we, you know, we use that term, not that we're going to slay dragons, because the only thing we do is part of us. We have to learn to discipline that energy and shine light on it. And that's what I mean by showing up. When the spirit learns to protect itself by not only thinking but actually doing, that energy, that decision alone, is probably the most important decision we'll ever make, because the thymus energy is the most important organ of the body. Because without that ability to do that, our immune systems will literally shut down and we have no life. And it's the number one killer of the body. So we either have to learn how to feel safe and use the appropriate amount of aggression, or we're dead. So great lessons to learn here. And, of course, the next one after we feel safe is the heart energy. And the heart energy is all about, you know, giving us the ability to feel and accept love for ourselves. So that's the next one. Maybe we can get through six of them today. I don't know. They're the six most important ones. So
the love of the heart is such a scoundrel. I mean, you start playing with love, and you better watch out, because it'll come up behind you and overwhelm you. And,
the ego
feels like it has to figure things out. When we live in our head, and our head is this big-ass symbol processor, and there's all these symbols in front of us on the screen and in our life, the ego gets tired trying to, you know, calculate or figure out how to propagate time and space, and yet it's not designed to really figure it out very well. When you clean out this drag on your emotional energy body, what you need to do in the moment is provided to you in the moment, and you can let go of the reins and actually fly better. You know, it's like autopilot, if you will, where you don't have to worry about every little bump in the road or whatever. That, in other words, when you bring the understanding of this emotional information to your mind, and your mind can trust it, and then you literally remove the drag on the organs, then the art of living becomes grace and ease. It's a very elegant thing that doesn't need the attention of the ego. It knows what to do already.
Beautiful. Yeah, I mean, listen to you talk about the drag. I mean, it's just what we all know. It's an instinctive thing, like you say. However, and I mean, remember when Christ said, you know, follow the children, you know, basically, and a little child shall lead them? That's when their circuits are clear. They instantly know what to do. And watch what they do, because they can teach us so much. Until we start training and programming our kids and basically putting the drag on them with our ways of doing things. Because, you know, if your heart, spirit, life force, energy is programmed by the traumas of being denied love and acceptance and forgiveness, it will create an unconscious dragon memory that impairs our ability to, you know, trust and love and accept and forgive others. And that's the beauty of the heart energy. It just naturally knows to do that for those who are, you know, safe and trustworthy. Because even dragons love love. And just remember, if you, you know, reinforce, enable, and maintain a heart dragon, you know, that's dangerous territory.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to be careful of that, too. So,
well,
because that will be a drag on your system. So
we're talking about this in a understanding or conceptual way. Can you share with us some stories that you've seen as far as how people have had their lives change as they bring some of this understanding and they're able to release the drag? Kind of a
I can tell you my story. I mean, when Dean did the first scan on me, he invented this scanner that can read the energy, you know, the spirit life force flow on all of the 23 organs and gland systems. And it tells you much more than that, but it basically, you know, that's the gist of it. We found out that I was going to die of the same thing that my mother died of, which is, you know, kidney failure. And I watched her go through 8 years of being hooked up to the machine and, you know, I mean, I just watched her go through hell. I mean, that's what happens when spirit disconnects for whatever reason on any of our organs and glands. We can be in serious trouble. And, you know, the organ and gland, the kidney, what it does is it filters and purifies, you know, the water in our body. And when our kidneys work really well, then it does that really well. And when they're slowing down or have been impaired, then it doesn't do that well. So basically, my heaviest electrical drag on that first scan that Dean did on me was kidneys. And I thought, well, it makes sense. So the emotional issue that my mom died of, which she died without knowing, because I didn't even come in contact with this until many, many years later after she died.
Right.
But, you know, I wish I could have told her that the thing, again, that she thought was spiritual was hanging on to all kinds of different relationships that were very, very, very toxic and emotionally traumatic for her. And those were the ones that it would have been, it was a drag on her system to hold on to. And I don't know who it was that said it, but if somebody's running away from you, don't run after them. You know, there is a reason why they are, because, you know, their energy, your energy, it doesn't mix right now. And there's lessons to be learned from all of that. But learning to walk away, learning to know how to run, you know, like the song says, know when to hold them and know when to fold them, you know.
Yeah.
That's the kidney message, is filtering toxic emotional situations in your life. If you can identify those toxic emotional situations, and sometimes the dragons are within you, and that you're the problem in the relationship. So I'm not saying dump all relationships outside of you because you're, you know, so pure and holy. A lot of times it's just us getting clear and clean about our toxicity and what we have done to create toxic emotional situations. And, of course, in other situations, it's just getting real clear about who to let in the front door, you know, getting our thymus energy cleared up. And, you know, that's true wisdom for us, so that we can make decisions where the drag won't keep piling up and building up so that one of our organs and glands fails, which was what was happening to me. It's number 16 on the chain, and it was at the front of the chain for a long time. And then Dean and I, as we worked through my issues, we got to watch after each scan over a period of 8 months, when the kidney drag, that was the worst drag on my entire system, completely came off, you know, the 12-number chain. And it was an amazing experience for me because I was clear for the first time to hear my kidneys and what they had to say so that I could show up the way they were asking me to when spirit life force energy is running through them. Now, the difference in my life, it just so happens that I basically looked around and I hardly had any friends left. So it was one of those outside situations for me. Some of those relationships have healed since then and some have not. It is interesting, however, how my kidneys will start acting up sometimes with a new person and that I meet or whatever. And I'll start learning the message, you know. It's stay away from the situation if you don't want the drag on you, you know. And now my kidneys can speak to me, and it's really awesome. Now, what I've noticed is I went from having no filtering to too much filtering. And so I'm kind of working my way back to the middle of that pendulum as far as the kidneys so that I can learn exactly how to purify and detoxify, you know, that situation.
Well, how does too much filtering look like?
Everybody that comes in your life, you will overfilter. You'll find something wrong. You'll make up things that aren't even real, you know, that are wrong. Reasons why you should not connect with them, and you'll just find yourself just not wanting the bother of, you know, a new relationship and, you know, all that trying, and, you know, you'll talk yourself out of even connecting at all, which is, you know, that's one way of getting rid of toxic emotional situations, but it's not the one that is without drag. But once the spirit life force energy can flow again through that organ gland energy, you can start to feel it. I also had a sex organ drag that was interesting to talk about, and I mean, if you have ears that can hear, you know, this one.
Sure.
Because some of it's tough to hear. I know it was for me because, I mean, let's face it, there's confusion in the way we live, Les, because look at our society and look what's working and what's not working. And what I think a lot of us are realizing is that a lot of the things that we were taught that were right don't even come close to being what I would be considering energetically correct. And so take it from there.
Well, it's a curious thing. When you're talking about getting in tune with yourself, you're talking about listening to the energy of your organs, and even to the point of over-listening, and I like that take on it. It's... Do you find that it's like layers of an onion where as you go through your imprinting and you clean up the drag, that it's there's another layer underneath?
Oh, no question about it. I mean, it just goes on and on. I said, when are the dragons going to go away? He says, they never go away. They just get more and more sophisticated. And you have to have more and more... the ability to discernment. And the language of the body is the discernment language for all humans. And it's what we all have in common. It's how we all function. And, you know, I mean, would it surprise you to find out that, what is it the men take? Viagra. We're talking about the sex organs right now. That they, if they find it hard to function sexually, there was a whole group of men in Utah that I knew that were all having this problem. I said, well, you're complaining about the same thing that, and they said, well, what do you and Dr. Dean, at that point I was living with Dean, and what do you and Dr. Dean say about this? Because we're all having to take the blue pill is what we're realizing. And... Now, I didn't know these people that well, but I knew one of them, and one of them had a friend, and anyway, I was getting phone calls because Dean had, you know, been around that whole you know, a lot of groups in Utah sponsored Dean to come and speak. And basically what it says is if you don't do this game right with the sex organs, that you will end up with apathy. And, you know, I think of a male sex organ that doesn't work. It's apathetic. It doesn't, you know, give. And so basically the whole situation with the sex organ energy is it's designed to give us the ability to create and multiply life energy through attraction, connection, and reproduction. And, of course, it maintains the species, and it creates our system's health. In fact, Dean calls an orgasm God's health plan because the sex organs themselves are stimulated by frictional stimulation to create electrical energy and cause it to build up into climatic surges on each organ and gland. So an organ spasm is an orgasm. And once you get rid of basically the drag off of that orgasm, off that sexual organ, it's, you know, health. I mean, you're going to automatically, instantly get a surge of spirit life force energy that will render you unconscious for, you know, tiny, tiny, you know, minuscule seconds, you know, something under a second. Apparently we all go to God and don't remember, but according to some writer, I can't remember the name, but, you know, I mean, it's a wonderful thing, and so we don't want to become apathetic, but apparently this sex organ life force energy is programmed to actually, truly connect on all levels, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And if we're doing it just on a physical level, then we may end up getting apathetic about the whole thing. And that's so sad that people don't know that. And like a one-night stand would lead to more apathy because you'd think, yeah, I'm not worth having a relationship with or whatever. I mean, you go into all the reasons why, you know, there's all that unclear trauma memory of feeling separated, disconnected, or unable to attract, create, and fulfill your desires, which, you know, it's all about creation. And that will create a feeling of apathy, which leads you to more separation and more disconnection in your relationships in order to avoid experiencing the traumas of hurt feelings around that stuff. So it can be a horrible, you know, ongoing trauma that people were completely unaware of. But when I told the men that, you know, probably from just what I was looking at was that I saw a lot of the men connect just on a physical level with, in other words, they were using each other, and this whole entire group that was, I don't know, they were probably, you know, a lot of people. And a lot of them had been disillusioned with a certain church, and so I, you know, I saw them go with their pendulum swing from being, you know, forced kind of to a long-term relationship with themselves and God, and nobody breaks that or else they're totally evil, right? So yeah. They end up breaking it, and they get out and find themselves in Singlesville, you know, with millions of people who all want to connect and miss their partners sexually. And so you could see how they were just, you know, in candy heaven, but it was also causing problems long term. So,
sure.
You know, the dragon can be defined as a short term a solution that will lead to a long term problem. And this is exactly what I saw with these men, is that there was a lot of usury, and the women were complaining that they felt like they were in polygamy, but without all the benefits. And anyway, it was an interesting situation to watch as, you know, Dean told them straight up, you know, the reason why this is happening to all of you, basically, from what I'm seeing, is you guys have forgotten how to really connect and to have a real relationship, you know. And so I thought, okay, well, what about polygamy, Dean? I mean, what about all these, you know, cans of worms were opened up, like, big time from where I was? You know, I had seen a lot of polygamy in Utah. And I thought, well, what is happening here? And he says, well, the sex dragon wants to get more and more perverse, if you haven't noticed. And then I thought of the polygamous groups and the old men and, you know, 12-year-old girls. And I thought about how a lot of leadership positions in churches all over the world are, you know, we're finding out that there are pedophile clubs. And, you know, we find out terrible things around the sex organ drag. He says, yes, in order to feed it, it has to get more and more, you know, gross, you know, more and more perverse. And so there's that end of that pendulum swing, which creates a situation where you have to take the little voo pill in order to get it up because your dragon has become apathetic about connection. It's given up. And so there was a certain amount of that on my chain, and oh my goodness, when I first felt my sex organs come to life again and just see it all clearly, I remember in all of my relationships, I remember thinking whether I wanted to admit it or not, and this is me being very honest, I thought there had better be a back door in this relationship because, you know, that first one when I was married for 25 years to the gay guy, you know, didn't have a clue until 2 weeks before I left. But his parents would have died if they'd have known, you know. I mean, they're dead now. But it was a feeling of, for 25 years, not being able to really be me and not really know why.
Right.
Because, you know, I was in a relationship that was based on non-reality. So looking back, I can see that exactly why I was going through what I was going through. And so I really wanted there to be a back door in the relationship to all my relationships until Dean. When my sex organs cleared up, there was no back door. This was my one and only. This is my true love. And it's easy. And the connection is much greater than when it was, oh, I better have that back door open, you know, that feeling. In fact, it's on a level that I would just call quantum to any other relationship that I've ever had, just healing my own sex organs. So that just kind of gives you an idea of, and basically, you know, it was really about opening up my heart and allowing somebody trustworthy and safe to love me. And Dean kept on telling me, you know, here I am married to him at this point, you know, and my sex organs were still. And finally getting that all cleared up was just pure heaven. That's all sure. I can tell you. I really think we're in for a whole new level of relationship. And I mean deeply committed and truly loving relationships that take us to an entirely different spiritual level. When we understand how the organs and glands work.
No doubt. Well, when, you know, since we, at least here in America, in a general sense, we all came through the same type of imprinting, do you notice some real, like, four or five top dragons in our collective culture that seem to be prominent and common?
Well, whatever's going on internally is going on outside of ourselves. So, you know, they're always talking about fear or love, you know.
Sure.
What are we going to choose? Those are the two energies, and we can just basically call the love of ourselves or the love of how it works energetically when our spirits can show up unfettered, or fear, which... what are you going to do? If you don't do it right, then in that straight, narrow path, energetically, the one that leads you to regeneration and rejuvenation and resurrection, if you will, then we're going to be putting drag on our systems by doing it not correctly energetically. And, oh, gosh, my brain just went scrambled. Remind me what we're talking about.
Well, some of the common...
The collective problems that we have. Well, I don't think we feel safe. I mean,
yeah.
The human system does not feel safe with our governments. We still feel like we're being controlled, and we still feel like we're in a slavery system. Our school systems don't make us feel safe because, you know, we can't even exercise aggression in school, or we, you know, have to take Ritalin, you know. We can't speak our truth. We have to do what we're told. We're still in some systems that are pretty rigid, old systems that need to be booted out. And the system's creativity needs to be, you know, booted in. I mean, who we really are, beautiful, creative beings with untold talent, you know, that's untapped while we're busy following orders and living in corporate structures, basically, and coming home basically to sleep and, you know, die and just sit in front of a TV, that, and we're not having a personal life. We just basically go and work for somebody else. I'm just talking about the overall collective. A lot of people have found their way around that and to jobs they love and into, like, you. I mean, look at you, Les. I mean, you're a perfect example of doing what you want to do. And, you know, Dean and I are, for the most, get to do what we want to do. And, you know, sometimes there's prices to pay for that. But if you can see the long term, either get this or corporate America, you know. But, yeah, so starting with safety and then the ability to love what is safe and trustworthy, you know, be able to discern that. Get rid of what we hate, which is the message of the colon, you know. Ask a divorced couple, you know, that hasn't done it consciously. They hate each other, you know. Oftentimes for years to come, for the most part, I'm just talking about generally, I think if we realize that it's time to do this long before it gets to the hate point, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, and the stomach is about nurturance. You know, you see these people that are overweight and not taking care of themselves, and the stomach is all about nurturance. And we'll either do it, you know, the discerning way and get ourselves the nurturance we need, or we will turn to food, drugs, alcohol, you know, whatever. Anterior pituitary is about issues of control. And the too much and not enough is what I see everywhere in our outside world. We're either getting over-controlled or under-controlled, mostly over-controlled as far as what I'm seeing. And the liver is about hope, you know. I think there's hope that's growing. There's a grassroots swelling of hope that's happening right now. And that's what the liver is all about, transforming what we've got into what we want. So those are the first six, basically. Those are the emotions that we have to deal with, or our outside world is going to be mirroring our inside world. So other than that, I can't imagine why this is important to figure out, you know, how each organ and gland affects the drag on our systems.
So let's talk about your platform. There's a book, and now does Dean see I assume he sees patients one-on-one. Do you have an online community? Do you do teleseminars? I'm trying to give our listeners an idea of how to engage.
Yes, we have plans for all of that. We're not doing it right now. What I'm finding is that people that want to know this information are pretty clear. Instinctively, they go toward this, and they find Dean. People who generally don't, you know, have too much drag on their system, they will hear about this, and they'll immediately think about, you know, sorting their sock drawer or something else equally as important, you know, as a priority over this. And, you know, based on just numbers right now, I think Dean's probably ahead of his time. He saw a woman long ago, one of these sages who has the ability to see things, you know, see. And he says, well, am I ever going to make it? You know, he was a younger man. He was like in his 20s or 30s, early 30s. And she said, yes, Dean, you will. You will on a big level, on a worldwide level. But the bad news is it won't happen for a long, long time. And, of course, I thought once we got this book out several years ago that this was just going to go like gangbusters, like wildfire, and burn it up, you know, because of my life, what it's done for me. People that hang on to Dean, like Dean's had one client for, oh, gosh, maybe 16 years, 17 years.
Wow.
When people hold on to Dean, they hold on to Dean. But the numbers don't seem to be there yet. So we're kind of waiting for some funds to come through so that we can do this, you know, on a Disney level, what it deserves, and give it, you know, some real attention. And that's kind of what we're working on right now. We've got volume 2 in the works as well for Know Thyself, Your Body's Wisdom for Living Consciously, where we go into greater detail on each organ and gland. The first one is just kind of a primer, and the second one is what Dean and I are doing right now is working on this follow-up book. So check out Dean's books. You can go to Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Dean G. Allen, Ph.D., and look under Know Thyself, and you'll find his book. And all I can say about it is it's worth its weight in gold as far as being able to tell you. You may not have the spirit will yet to walk that straight and narrow path of unfettered energy, spirit, life, force, energy, flow. But once you learn how to do it, it's all in the book. At least each decision, you know, that you make will become more and more clear in its focus for you as you learn what to do and what not to do energetically so that you can learn how to regenerate each organ and gland of your body. So Dean's got a movie in the works. He's found a movie director who also worked with Louise Hay and Wayne Dyer. So she's been very, very sick, but we got her back, and we're going to be working on Rochelle Marmerstein is her name. We're going to be working on the movie for Know Thyself, and it'll be Dean's story, and where a lot of the stuff came from was from a man named Joe Scogna, who got it out to the world and then died. And his wife didn't know what to do with it. Dean ended up with it by happenstance. And the way I see it cosmically, it was kind of like there was that baton race, you know, where you pass the baton.
Right.
And I think Joe came, did it, left. Somebody said that he must have been Solomon to have been able to accomplish what he did in such a short lifetime. He was in his 30s when he died. And Dean was able to take it and get it on the, basically hawk, you know, the house to get this body talker scanner created and the software put in for it. So it's been a lifetime work just for Dean to do that, and the story behind it is just nothing less than miraculous, incredible. I cannot wait till the story gets told, and the movie is going to just be riveting, I'm sure. So, yeah, we got a lot of plans, but don't ask us for anything right this second because it's not
well,
ready.
The technology, the infrared analyzer, is that being replicated, and is Dean teaching other people to
Yes, it has been replicated, and Dean's going to be also teaching the teachers, you know. We'd like to get this in the hands of every healer on the planet, you know. Right now, Dean's working with the Keshe Foundation that just accepted him as the only non-medical doctor that they know of so far because of what he has to teach them, which I thought was really kind of cool for Keshe and their organization to do that. But he will be learning that and giving that information, you know, and sharing that with them, as well as in return getting a light chamber, which we're very excited about because I've had a disease that was horrible. Less I've been lucky to stay alive during it. Using electromagnetic energy, I've been able to kick it, but it has been really a tough couple of years for me. So climbing back from a year ago since I started doing this with the electromagnetic energy, it basically turns off these little nanotech bugs, which I got infected with. A lot of us have it, don't know it, and you've seen the X's in the sky in the spring. I think the chemtrails have stopped. I'm not sure, but it does feel like there has been a lot less of them. Maybe with the New Republic coming on, I'm not sure, but we'll see. You know, time will tell, as Dean's mother used to say. So.
Well, it's such a core approach to our human nature, and when you talk about bringing the wisdom of the inherent wisdom of what each organ does. It, the role it plays, and then releasing the drag of it and bringing it into balance, into harmony, affords you the ability to know and trust who you are, where you are, why you are. I mean, it really affords a way to restore the divine idea of you.
That is absolutely beautifully said, Les. That's exactly what it is. I can't get enough of this personally. I live with a man that is the only person on the planet that I know that knows about this to the extent that he does. And he's a treasure trove of wisdom and knowledge. And truly, I cannot wait for this information to get out. It's going to change everything, because once we change... just once we learn about who we are and how we function energetically on an emotional level, it will affect our physical body. It will affect everything. By the way, I was on those kidney pills for 20 years. In 8 months, my life looked totally different, and I had to make some big sacrifices in my life, but I have not touched any kidney medication since.
Very nice.
We're talking chronic kidney ailment to zero, zip, nada, nothing. I don't get infections anymore.
Well, you know, an hour goes by pretty fast.
Yeah, I can't believe it either. I know, Les.
We just got
a
few minutes left. Do you have any
closing
thoughts?
It has been such a pleasure talking with you.
I always enjoy having you guys on the show. Do you have any closing thoughts?
Well, I think I just said them. I'd love to hear from you.
The show in general. I like that. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. I very much appreciate having you back as a guest. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Les. Such a pleasure. Have us back anytime.
We've been talking with Christy Knight about the emotional language of the body. You know, when you take the time, when you take the time to figure out the mechanics of what makes you tick, and I suggest just as importantly the vision, the wisdom that your soul has for your life, and then turn around and trust that, engage that, and fulfill that with the passion of your heart. Oh, my God, does life get exciting or what? It's the idea that, for myself, my soul has showed me visions of my life that I'm like, wait, time out. I'm this small-town kid from Utah. What the hell are you showing me this big-ass vision for? And my soul just smiles and says, who else but you? In other words, you listening to this right now, your soul had a vision for your life before you're even born, and it knew all about this upheaval, this wave of consciousness rising, a most exciting chapter of our human story. You showed up for yourself tonight by listening to the show, and I applaud you for that. It's my good pleasure to bring you shows just like this. You can go to New Human Living and find more. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast. You can raise your own personal power with Personal Power Fundamentals Home Study Course at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.
Run to Old Navy for revolutionary prices on summer's most stylish shorts. Today only, they're all 50% off for the whole family. All your favorite shorts, denim, linen, all of them. All shorts are 50% off today only. Run to Old Navy now. Valid 6:30. Excludes active.
Folk art from around the world. Global food and music. Live art demonstrations. Santa Fe's International Folk Art Market is New Mexico True. The International Folk Art Market, named top art market in the country, July 8th through 10th in Santa Fe. Plan your trip at newmexico.org/trueevents.